Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Quantum Dev Room. Happy to see that many people found the room. I want to introduce the first speaker of the day, which is Tomasz. Tomasz holds two master degrees, one in theoretical computer science and one in cybersecurity, and he's one of the co-founders of the Quantum Open Source Foundation and the biotech startup ProteinCure. And he has worked with most of the different quantum hardware architectures and deeply believes in the value of combining quantum computing and open source. So please welcome the speaker with me.
All right, guys, can you hear me? Okay, it seems like the volume is okay, maybe a little bit too loud. All right. First of all, welcome to the room. We ended up having a little bit of an emergency reshuffling. Our original room got flooded, I hear, so that's why we're in this bigger space. So this room is organized by the Quantum Open Source Foundation, and we are happy to be at FOSDEM again. Last year was our first year being here, and we really enjoyed it. So we were really happy to be here again, this time in a bigger space. We're going to have 14 speakers today, and we're trying to change the actual kind of theme of the room a little bit this year. Last year, we had a lot of speakers from the quantum computing industry, and we're talking about many different quantum computing libraries. This year, we want to be more dynamic, so we're going to have shorter talks. The length of talks ranges from 35 minutes to 25 minutes. And we'll also be more project-focused. So we're going to be speaking more about the projects in the quantum computing space that some, you know, academic groups or individuals work on their free time on or as part of their job. And last year, we had a little bit of a problem. We had capacity of roughly 90 people, I think, in the room. And the room got really, really packed. Nobody could even like leave the room and have any hope of getting back throughout the day. This year, it seems like the situation is going to be a little bit better. But since we moved and since many people are still probably coming in because they just noticed that the room has changed locations, if you see that people are coming in and they're kind of like waiting on the sidelines, and you have seats on the sides, and there's still space in the middle, you know, feel free to kind of compress and go into the middle rows such that people have you know, space to sit. Okay, and now coming down to actually what I wanted to speak about, which is introduction to quantum software development. So I'm gonna divide my talk into three parts. In the first part, I'm gonna talk about some parallels that we can find in quantum computing space right now with the development of machine learning and how the field of machine learning has developed. In a second part, I'm going to give you guys a little primer to quantum computing, just a very quick rundown of different architectures and things you need to know about quantum computing to understand the rest of the day. And in the last part, we're going to speak about a little bit how you guys can help and how, you know, software engineers and computer scientists fit into the picture and, you know, how you can, you know, lead, I guess, hand out your hand and offer some help to these projects. Okay. So success of machine learning really falls down not only to machine learning scientists, but also a lot of work that has been done around machine learning to kind of help foster the ease of adoption of the tools and developments that are being produced. One of the big things that helped people develop their own machine learning solutions are machine learning frameworks. And here on this slide, I list a couple of the most popular ones. I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with scikit-learn or TensorFlow, or at least heard about these libraries. And really what these projects do well is that they have really nice, you know, well-documented APIs, tutorials. They have a really good basically foundation that they offer to anybody who wants to jump in into the field. So if you want to start with machine learning, you don't need to, you know, implement your own machine learning algorithms from scratch in C++. You can rely on all these libraries and existing frameworks to help you build your models. And that's something that really helps people to jump into the field. Then there's a lot of tooling that has been developed that helps people to not only develop their models, for example, in the case of Jupyter Notebooks, it's a really great collaboration tool, but also to, you know, share their models and deploy them into production. So, for example, the OMX framework over here is a tool that helps you, you know, share your model and provide an inference pipeline, no matter what kind of framework you use to actually train the model itself. So you can see that, once again, the theme repeats. You not only need the underlying algorithms, but you also need to build a lot of tooling to bring this technology, machine learning, into the market. And last but not least, a lot of progress in machine learning has been really fueled by just going for bigger and bigger architectures. There's this joke in the community that bigger is better, and that bigger network solves everything. And on this graph on the left, you can see that logarithmic plot. You can see how the different architectures that you know, became really successful, how much training they actually need per day. And you can see that for AlphaGo 0, reaching like 1,000 petaflops seconds per day. So once again, basically, this development is largely fueled by engineers working on large-scale systems. On the right, you can see the pictures of the Google TPU, Tensor Processing Unit, which kind of brings in the hardware engineers into the picture. So you can really see that it is a effort of a whole range of diverse backgrounds that is kind of being combined here to produce the successes that we see today. All right. So now let's kind of, you know, just keep that in the back of our minds, and let's jump into the part of the quantum computing primer. So I guess you guys are here because you have been hearing a lot about quantum computing, and yeah, there's like all these very hyped up articles. You know, if you scroll through your LinkedIn feeds, you're going to see very various sensational